welcome to the Consumer Defense Line. I'm your host, Michael Forbes, with my beautiful wife, Nancy Forbes. Is that what you're going by these days?
Yes, my beautiful wife, Nancy Forbes. That's my name now.
Yeah. As I'm sitting here with a gun pointed to my head. Anyway, we're not broadcasting from beautiful downtown Westchester today. We're in freezing cold Wayne at my office, and I just went out to get a little vitamin D looking at the sun. I'm told that gives you vitamin D, so I went out for 5 minutes. Without any wind, it's not too bad, but boy, when that wind comes, it really smacks you around.
So we're really phoning it in today, literally.
So. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So anyway, couple of things. We were downtown last weekend, and we went to see our close friend Randy Goodman's band, Linus the Moon, at the Milk Boy, and he really just, you know, kicked butt in this place where the floors and the stairs were literally shaking. I think I'm getting too old for this stuff.
No, I think he needs a larger venue.
Yeah, or a more solid venue to be in. Something that was constructed a little better. Speaking of being constructed a little better, we had a personal experience that we're going to discuss today. And basically, you know, as a lawyer who advocates for consumers, mostly through, you know, defending people with credit card debt, going after debt collectors who step over the line in legally, and defending foreclosure cases, we also try and advocate for people on other levels. I have a few cases we talked about where we've had to sue over medical bills. And, of course, there's also, you know, medical malpractice cases where you sue over medical care. But this is a little bit different, more on a personal level. Last week, our daughter had to go into, one of our daughters had to go into Children's Hospital for an emergency. And it brought out everything that is wrong with this healthcare system. I went there, and I saw this, went there before down to CHOP, as Children's Hospital is known. And as you're driving down 34th Street, you come upon this, like, unbelievable complex of lights and metal and glass. Now, for anybody,
it's like the Emerald City.
Yeah, it is. It was like being in Oz.
Yeah.
And you couldn't find the wizard anywhere, which is part of the problem.
Yeah.
It's funny because when I was a kid and, you know, in my teenage years, I used to go down there to, my father would take me to the convention center to see the old Warriors and the 76ers play when they first came to town. I think I saw the Harlem Globetrotters there. You know, down to that complex where there's Franklin Field, the old convention center. And so when you drive there, first of all, it's almost impossible to find the entrance to any of these hospitals. It is unbelievably clogged up with traffic around the emergency rooms and the entrances. Second of all, you're completely overwhelmed with the architecture. It is really, I guess the word, and I don't usually use this word, but it's stunning. I mean,
it's looming.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's completely distracting. If you blink, you miss the driveway and the CHOP. So I get in there. Nancy had been there and stayed overnight with our daughter. And I get in there, and I am. You go down to the parking lot. I had to take three elevators just to get to the room, and probably walked probably no less than between a quarter and a half a mile trying to get there.
Oh, I know you did, because I wear my Fitbit.
Well, how long did I walk for?
I was able to do 3.5 miles easily a day to get my 10,000 steps in, and that was just going from the elevators to the room. Now, after 6 o'clock, it gets a little worse, and that's when you were coming. But
well, it was absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
In fact, at one point, I got on the same elevator twice. I went up. They said, you got to get on another elevator. I ended up on the same one going down, and it was just, I mean, I've been down there before, and I've had similar experiences, but this was probably worse because they're constantly working on the physical plant. They are constantly putting money into the architecture and the building and the construction and everything except having enough staff in the hospital to take care of the actual patient, God forbid, children. And I think that, like, what, you know, and I'm not trying to knock the staff, because my experience, and I think Nancy's to a large extent, was that everybody was polite and nice, but there was a whole lot of really kind of ignorance floating around. For you, I mean, you were there.
Well, yes, but not ignorance. You know, really, what really hit home to me was the glass and the metal and the shiny promise of these buildings. But when you go inside and you have to be in an emergency room for 11 hours before they find you a bed, and you're with a child who has extreme pain, that laying in this type of stretcher-type bed in the ER is just not acceptable. And when you're dealing with a staff that has so many other things to do besides looking at the patient and absorbing information, it's not really their fault. They have the insurance company is ahead of us, the shareholders is ahead of us. As a patient, you're last on the list. And the only thing I can tell people is don't go to the hospital unless you have somebody with you, because in our daughter's case, when they were not listening to what her need was, they were trying to do everything, but they came back and they said, oh, we know what we're going to do for her. We're going to give her this medication, and that medication would have caused horrible complications because she's allergic to that medication, which wasn't only verbally shared with the staff, but is in the computer 85 million times, because every time somebody new comes in, you have to keep repeating it, and it's on her bracelet. So it was scary and a very frustrating experience being in the hospital for 3 days. Your brain starts calculating things. It's like I became a meter, like I was in a taxi cab, because I know how much this is going to end up costing. And we went a whole day without any professionals coming to see her to help her with her issue. So it was,
So what did you do in the ER? At some point, didn't they ask you to have her sign some forms? And then you kind of went a little ballistic on them?
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing because, you know, I guess it was hour six. And this really lovely nurse, oh, she was just very sweet, came in and said, the doctors would like me to ask your daughter to fill out a statistical form. And it's just a few questions, but we need her to come over here and sit in a chair and you know, hit some keys in the computer. Now, my daughter was now in hour six of horrible pain. And I just looked at the nurse like she had three heads, and I said, why don't you tell your doctors that when they do something for my daughter, I'm sure she'll be happy to do something for them.
Well, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. That, you know, that's, once again, you know, it's either somebody not paying attention, they're clearly not paying attention to what's going on, but it also goes back to what, you know, we said at the beginning, that they're understaffed. And because of that, you're going to have more incidents where that happens. I mean, we were in the ER years ago, and you were having some issue, and you were in a lot of pain. A lot of pain, right, writhing in pain at one hospital, and they're just ignoring you for like an hour and a half till I put you in the car and we went to another hospital.
Because nobody looks at the patient anymore. And it's not like the good old days. I think this has always been an issue with paperwork and that type of thing. But it's really time for us to stop this. There has to be a way where doctors and nurses can actually face the patient instead of a keyboard and really start listening to what's going on. You know, and the other issue was, when it was time to try and get our daughter out of bed and you know, for her own sanity, start, you know, wheeling her around the hospital just to get another perspective on things, it took me 45 minutes to find a wheelchair, and nobody knew where the wheelchairs were. We're in Children's Hospital. Do you think maybe a lot of children need wheelchairs? And even to get her out of the wheelchairs, that's when I hit my 10,000 steps for my Fitbit, because it took me an hour and an hour and 15 minutes to find a wheelchair just to leave the building when it was time to go home. So share your stories. I'm sure there's plenty out there. Our number is 610-701-9243.
Now, you know, you talk about, and it's true, people are, unfortunately, they're sitting around, we see in the pharmacies all the time, spending all this time with paperwork with these insurance companies that are making a fortune, mm-hmm. gouging everybody. I don't care who they are, they're gouging you. But at the same time, that's why the hospital's got to put more money into their staff instead mm-hmm. of overpaying the doctors, underpaying the nurses, and putting all this money into architecture and all these buildings and, you know, whatever else that they're doing. I mean, there's a lot of good that they're doing. Don't get me wrong. And CHOP is a wonderful institution, so I'm not saying it towards them in particular.
And we did eventually get great help.
Yeah, I mean, there's wonderful people working there, but they're overworked and they're understaffed, and a lot of these hospitals are. And you know, I work with nurses years ago. I've had doctors as clients. You know, I have a pretty good handle. I used to be in the healthcare industry. I have a pretty good handle on what's going on, and it's staggering the amounts of money that they're paying. You know, to the wrong. Not the wrong people, but they're paying too much, and it's imbalanced like everything else in this world. So they got to bolster it up more from the bottom up. And these problems have been there forever, one way, shape, or form. You know, I told you, you know, before about when I was 11 years old. Now you're talking 51 years ago.
No way.
Well, whatever the number is, 52 minus 11. 51, I think it is. And I was in, I think it was Children's Hospital or Children's Heart Hospital they put me in, but I was in there for a week. That was the chair.
Yeah.
Everybody evacuate. I don't know if you heard that. But so I was in there for a week. They had like a million doctors and interns coming in. Every single one misdiagnosed me, and they ended up having to take all this fluid out of my knees. So they stuck the needles into each kneecap and took these horse tubes. It was like a horse needle, these big tubes of fluid out. And the fire alarm went off, and everybody ran out of the room. But one person couldn't run out of the room, and that was the 11-year-old boy with the needles in his knees on the table. When finally a nurse came back, and goes, "Oh my God, we forgot about you." I mean, you
but
know.
Isn't that the case? And that's that's the problem. You know, the patient very often is last, and as I said, it's not really their fault in so many ways, but when you're building these incredible buildings that look so beautiful and so full of promise, you would think that somebody who's brilliant enough to figure out how we can get the patient and the doctor and the nurse together again. Also, what's on that corner is University of Pennsylvania and Drexel, and I often refer to it as the corner of brilliance. I mean, you have a lot of brilliance right there at 34th and Spruce and Walnut and Chestnut. And if they can't figure it out, then they're just not trying.
No,
and
you're
I
right.
think that that's because everybody's making money on the mess.
Well, that's a good point. And it's funny you said that. Not funny, but what's interesting is that the VA hospital is down there, too.
Yeah.
And when you compare the VA facility with what's going on at those hospitals, it's disgraceful, and it's not, you know, look, that's the government's money that goes there, and the private money goes to the other hospitals, but it's really like, wow. You know, it really hits home, you know, the lack of care for the vets, and then, you know, we go through these experiences. So there are organizations out there that advocate for patients, and Nancy had mentioned about, you know, what the bill's going to look like, and I can't wait to see that, because as we discussed, I think, on last week briefly, how that bill, what you see is that $100 is charged for something that the insurance company will pay, let's say $60, but then you're expected to pay the full $100 for the deductible or the copay. So that's going to be another battle, because I'm not putting up with that anymore. I mean, not that I did anyway. I think we fought that. But I think it's really important for people to start, you know, looking at these bills. They're as confusing as can be. And
isn't that on purpose?
Well, yeah, look, it's like the mortgage companies.
Yeah.
You know, we do all that foreclosure defense, and I get the account history. It's like reading hieroglyphics. I can't tell you, and I won several trials, because the mortgage company's own witness can't read their own account histories, their own statements. Their lawyers certainly can't read them completely. Nobody understands, you know, what these things are. I had an expert I used to use who worked for Countrywide years ago, and she was able to read about maybe 80 to 85% of a couple of bills that I showed her, a couple of account histories, I'm sorry, the computer printouts. And, you know, I was able to figure out about 70% of it. My clients couldn't figure out more than about 20%, because it's like reading hieroglyphics.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's intentionally done, or it's the way these computer programs, the way they have to set them up. But, you know, in my estimation, I tend to agree that, you know, there might be, you know, you might find, if you could really get underneath the layers there, that there is a certain level of intentional, you know, motive there to, you know, mislead anybody who doesn't understand the bill. Look, it's just like, and I think I mentioned it last week, the case I had where my client had substantial medical bills, and we looked at the bills and found out that the hospital was double dipping, and they were trying to get extra money out of the state of Pennsylvania. So, you know, it was a big investigation. We uncovered it. It wasn't a lot of money. It was about $5,000 or $6,000, but it would have actually, I think, it would have come out of my client's pocket.
Right.
So it wasn't out of the state. But the way it worked out, it was some kind of double dipping, and, you know, we saved the client $5,000 as a result of it, because I think the state had already paid it, and then they were charging again, and we would have had to pay the state back double or something.
But that took quite a while to uncover that.
Oh, it did. Me and my co-counsel looked at that bill.
Yeah.
8 or 9, 10. You looked at it, like, you know, 10 times before we finally said, wait a minute, look at this. What is this?
Right.
So, yeah, it was pages and pages and pages of one-line entries trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
And,
but the state was perfectly okay with the fact that it was taking so long. There was nobody that, you know, really wanted to get to the end of this all that quickly, when the state was actually going to be making money on it, because they weren't going to be double dipped upon.
Right. Well, they were actually, for once, innocent bystanders,
right,
innocent participants.
They still didn't move very quickly.
No, they didn't. And so, you know, it was really quite an experience. I won't mention the hospital, but it was a humongous hospital. And, you know, it was really like, wow, if they're doing this on this one case, you know, how many more cases out there of overbilling actually occur? So, anyway, this is obviously, we just went through this experience, and we are getting more into the medical billing issue and, you know, subtopics for that. So,
and the number again is 610-701-9243, 610-701-9243. And Fred, our producer, are you there?
Yep.
I think we should take a little break here.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Right now, get up to $6,000 over Kelley Blue Book fair market value for any trade at Kia of Westchester and Kia of Coatesville. That's right! six stylish new 2016 Kia Optimas are only $159 per month. And always remember, Jim Sapala wants to see you in a Kia. Visit Kia of Westchester or KiaCoachville.com.
Qualified buyers, 24-month lease, $26.59 down, plus tax and tag, no security deposit, 10,000 miles per year, negative equity refinance. Dealer retains all factory rebates. Offers don't combine. Stock number K014112. Expires month's end.
Imagine our region without forests and mountains, without clean rivers and streams, all providing Western Pennsylvania with essential wildlife habitat, scenic beauty, and recreation. Since 1932, the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy has protected and restored the region's natural resources. We've even helped preserve Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water. With your help, we will continue to protect our region for generations to come. Help the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. Donate online at waterlandlife.org.
WCHE, Chester County's local news source that not only tells you what's happening, but is committed to telling you the behind-the-scenes reason why it's happening.
Welcome back. Do we have somebody on the line here?
Yes, this is Ramsey Coulter. How are you doing today, Michael?
That voice. How are you doing, Ram?
Doing great, doing great.
Good. Did you hear a rap about the healthcare system?
I heard a little bit. I was actually driving, and then I was like, oh, I need to tune into Michael's show. So then I called in.
Oh, I thought you were driving, and you heard this shocking story, and you had to pull over right away because you're going to run off the road or something.
Yeah, right?
Impact. I'm glad I leave such an impression.
Breaking news. Our healthcare system's messed up.
Yeah, brand new news.
Well, it is scary because Nancy went to this doctor recently who's very well known. He's a great doctor, great reputation. And I know him, and so it was, you know, not going in cold, and felt like she was completely ignored because he was spending all his time explaining her to his interns. Or residents, whatever the heck they were.
They kept saying, these are my third years. I don't know what that meant, but he never looked at me, never asked me a question, just
goodness.
My test results as they're learning, their day of learning. But anyway, Ramsey, what's going on? I mean, I know that you have also had all kinds of interesting brushes with the healthcare system, and I know that your clients have, and we did discuss some of this a couple weeks ago, but I think it bears repeating.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was laughing to myself. I was thinking, yeah, and the doctor's going to charge you double for having two doctors in the room, probably.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, you never know what's coming on these bills.
You never know, that's for sure.
Never know. You know, there was a joke years ago. I went to law school with this guy who was a podiatrist. And, you know, he was doing okay. Now he's doing incredibly, from what I understand. But, you know, somebody said to him, well, all you guys do is stick your head in the room, you get $100. You know, you just, the kid's, like, hooking on with as many nursing homes as he can.
Yeah.
You know, he was laughing. You know, he got it. But he goes, oh, it's not that easy. Well, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been in the hospital. The doctor sticks his head in the room, goes out, and then you get this huge bill afterwards. So, and you don't know who they are.
Yep.
It's really
absolutely
weird. I mean, look, if they're giving you the care that you need and that's how they have to do it, that's fine. But it's very strange.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, actually, I have one of my clients. She has a very large, you know, hospital bill from a local hospital. And, you know, she's been getting a bunch of bills in here and there. And, you know, they're all underneath the one hospital, which is great. You know, she's been starting to take care of it. And now we just saw just the other day, we got the medical collection from the hospital bill off of her credit report. And now there's another bill that she's never received any letters and never any phone calls, no notice to pay this bill or else it's going to show up on your credit. And now I just checked it and there's $1,150. And this is exactly who we were talking about last week, the Physicians Association of Pennsylvania. And, yeah, they never sent her any bills saying that she owed money or anything. They just show up on her credit report.
That is outrageous.
Wow.
That is completely outrageous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, like, if they would have sent her a letter, she could have got them a copy of her insurance and, you know, taken care of this. But now they just pop up all of a sudden with no announcement. Not even one simple letter to say, hey, you got to pay this, or else we're going to show up on your credit.
Wow.
And now we have to deal with that. What's that?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to just feed it with the credit bureaus. And, we're going to send them a letter and ask them, you know, who they are and where they came from and why they're just unannouncing and just showing up on her credit with no notice.
It's really, it's a disgrace.
Right.
It really is.
You would think the law would, like, force them to at least send you one letter before they just pop up on your credit.
I agree with you, and that's one of the holes in the law. And you know what you have to go through in order to dispute this. So you get absolutely, this particular person, for instance, gets no notice, but they get a 30-day opportunity to look into it, investigate it. And then even if that doesn't work, you give them another 30 days, and, you know, ultimately you may or may not be able to sue them under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, depending upon, you know, various factors.
Well, when you get a hospital bill, how long do you have before they turn it over collections? Because some of these are really long, and you need time to really, you know, dive into it.
Well, that's a good question, because, you know, you want it to go to your insurance.
Right.
So I don't have an answer for that. I
do. They're implementing new laws so that medical bills, I don't think it's started yet, but very soon, they have to wait 6 months for medical bills to show up in collections on your credit report because of exactly that, insurance issues, insurance billing issues.
I've seen that, but they don't. But it's not in effect yet, is it?
No, it's not in effect yet, but at least they're working on that problem.
but for right now, there's no protection, which is why they have to have a law like that.
Yep.
I mean, it really is a disgrace, and it's really coercion, and, you know, it just makes it, you know, you look around, and, you know, all you see, doesn't matter where you go, are these URGE centers all over the place, which, by the way, we've gotten really good care from them, but they're everywhere. Like, every turn, there's a hospital or an URGE center, and yet the patient care and the billing is still, you know, all messed up. So it's... You know, you got to fight the good fight, as you do, and we try and do, and in terms of disputing this and protecting consumers' rights, you know, and even if you get really crappy care that may not result in a medical malpractice suit, there's really not a whole lot you can do about it because you're going to get still billed for this big amount of money that you have no idea who's billing you for.
Yeah.
I mean, it defies all basics of contract law. It's absolutely incredible. You have an agreement with a party you don't even know who you're dealing with.
Yep, it's ridiculous.
Ramsey, thank you as usual for calling in. We really enjoyed talking to you. You want to give your number so people can call you with any questions?
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody needs help, you know, looking at their credit reports, I do a free consultation. Phone number 610-314-1094.
And our number is 610-293-9399. Our website is www.mforbeslaw.com. Please call us if you need any help, have any questions. And I think this is about it for the day. Hey, Fred, are we up against
the Ramsey.
Time? Thanks.
Yep, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
Good talking to you, too.
All right, bye-bye.
Fred, you there?
Yep.
Okay, so because we're doing a little remote, we have to check in with our producer here. How are we doing on time?
I think it's over.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry for a few awkward moments there, but we appreciate it. And have a wonderful day, and everybody try and stay warm.